Okay, hello everybody. Last chance to run away before the doors close. Okay, so hello everybody. My name is Alexandra Sayorta, and I'm a project server PFE working in EMEA. Lately, mostly in France and UK. So do you have any customers from France or UK? Oh, one. Okay, nice. I'm based in Romania, and I have been working with Project Server since the version 2003. As a premier field engineer, I have the opportunity to go on site and assist the customers with any question or any problem with Project Server. And this is quite a privilege, because we have many, many questions in terms of how does it work, why do I get this message, why do I have this problem, or how should it work, how should I set it up. Today we are going to cover a feature which was incorporated in the product in Project 2010, which is called Portfolio Management. And we are going to look into the implementation of portfolio analysis with Project Server 2013. Before I start any explanation or any slides, I would like to add that everything that I will do today is valid both in the cloud and on the premise environment. In the beginning, I thought to take my SQL machine, my SharePoint machine, and project machine and bring it with me. But then I realized that my baggage weight limit is not that big. So I choose the most easy way and the most usable and manageable way to present this, which is through Office 365. We have at the head, they have three sessions which are related to Project Server, different areas of Project Server. Yesterday we presented the basic concept and how you can come from Excel, or how you can sync your SharePoint task list within Project Professional and Project Server. So those are the basic steps. Today we are going to look at the way that we are going to manage and the way that we are going to administer this portfolio of projects. And tomorrow, at the same time, my colleague Rafael will speak about reporting and BI. When I'm saying BI, I'm referring to Excel services within Project Server. I'm speaking about Power Pivot and the enhancement in 2013, the Power View. So all of these features will be covered together with demos tomorrow. If you have any questions, we would like to discuss some details or have a chat about Project Server or any interest in project management, you can find us at the exhibition hall, Office 365 area. There is a project booth and we have this orange t-shirt which project written all over it. Tomorrow evening we'll also have a Ask the Expert sessions, so we are looking forward to see you there also. I would like to know you better also, so just to have an idea about the audience at the level and the technical level that I'm going to go, how many IT pros in the room? Quite a nice audience. How many developers? Wow, we do get developers for project, and we have so many developing opportunities within Project Server, both the client and the server, so we can cover that area also. How many of you oversee projects? Good. And how many of you manage portfolios? Or let me put it, collection of projects. That's quite a nice audience. So I think you will definitely find interesting things, especially in the second part of the presentation, when I'm going to switch to the demo. The agenda today, because maybe for some of you, Office 365, it's new, or there are still some unanswered questions about how it works. Will it be a project on a premise? Are we all going to the cloud? What are the options there? I'm going to speak a little bit about it and how you can achieve or cover your portfolio management with this technology. Then we are going to have a demo session. I'm going to show you the resource pool in Project Center. I'm going to show you the basic step to create a project. And afterwards, we will drill down into the analysis of a portfolio of projects. For the ones which are brave enough to ask a question, we have a special mic over here. I have reserved 15 minutes at the end of my session. If there are more questions than what I anticipated, we can take that later on the hall or even at the booth. In terms of project management, there has been a long way for Project Server within Microsoft. And we have learned that one size does not fit all, especially since project management is not standardized in all the organizations. I still go on site and have customers which open Excel file or use Excel and they share Excel on a network share. I still have customers where they use white dashboards. I still have customers which use any other solution or type of project management solution. So there are a lot of flavors of customers over there. We have team members, we have project managers. Project managers don't have the same requirements as a team member. So we need to cover all this area. In the 2013 version, we are doing that for both on-premise, both for the cloud. So for the project managers, which are interested in creating complex projects, setting task type, we have Project Professional. This is the tool intended mostly for the project management, mostly for the stage of the creation of the project and adding all the constraints, milestones, deadlines, everything that you need to add in there. We have two flavors of Project Pro. We have Project Professional based on a license. That is like a normal, it was also before with the normal Office suite. And we have a version of Project Professional, which is called Project Pro for Office 365. The difference is that the second one is a subscription-based, and being a subscription-based click-to-run installation, all the updates are automatically pushed to your product, as opposed of the licensed version where you need to manually deploy or through VSUS or whatever solution you have in order to deploy some updates to that client. In order to assure that all of this is centralized, we have Project Server, and the most familiar thing from Project Server is PWA, Project Web Access, which is a web interface that can give you access to all the projects in your organization, to all the resources defined in your organization. You can set up demand management, you can set up portfolio analysis, you can set up reporting over there. This is how this works. It works because it's centralized, because all this information is stored in a database. If you are on-premise, this database is stored on your premise SQL Server. If you use Office Project Online, then this is stored in our cloud. So Project Server would be corresponding to Project Online. The difference between two of them is that for the project online, you don't need to worry about updates, deployments. You don't need to worry about your SQL Server, about configuring your SharePoint server, integration in the Exchange, and so on. This comes as a pack. So lately, the number of devices which are used by the people increased. Even you, what do you use day to day? What devices you use? Your phones, tablets, laptops. So I have a different flavor of devices with different OS, with different applications installed on it. This is why we also offer support for the PWA. We offer support for the site. We offer support not only for Internet Explorer, but you can access the project site. The Project Web Access interface can be also accessed in Chrome, in Firefox, in Safari. Okay. So we also offer support for that, of course, with the latest version of those products. And I got a question lately if we are going, while I was at the booth, there's a question if we are going to give up on-premise. So no, we still have the cloud and on-premise. So we're still going to keep, for the moment at least, the on-premise. You're still going to have the on-premise version of Project Server. The difference would be that the cadence, the rhythm of development is going to be much faster in the cloud. We cannot launch a new version of Project Server each 3 months or each 6 months. Usually the rhythm for project, it was project 2000, 2003, 2007, 2010, 2014. So it's 2.5 years plus minus 6 months. For the cloud, we may decide that we have enhanced or we have a set of enhancements that we are going to deploy in the next 6 months or in the next 3 months. When we started with the cloud, we had exactly the same bits of code as on-premises, only that the rhythm and the cadence for the cloud is going to be much faster. You'll finally get it also on the premise, but it will be in the next major version. When we think about, when we speak about the project server architecture, the tool that you use in order to make your project management, the most complex solution, which includes also the client and also the server. First of all, we need to speak about the infrastructure pillar. So we offer in the project online, we offer robust data centers with an uptime service at 99.98%. You don't have to worry about high availability. You don't have to worry about updates. You don't have to worry about your administrative knowledge on SharePoint or on SQL. While on-premise, you'll need to assure that all these components are there in order for the project to work. The second thing is security, which is very important. Both on-premise and cloud, they have a complete trust or accreditation, like for security compliances. There is a site, Office 365 Trust Center, where you can read more information about this. You can encrypt your data even if you're on-premise environment. You can protect your server behind a firewall, DMZ, or whatever security solution you choose. We have a very good integration with SharePoint, so we can sync in right now in 2014, the task list that you have in SharePoint can be synchronized either in the client application or on the central server, on the project server, on the project site, I'll call it. We are going to look at it in the demo. And the most complex pillar that I'm going to speak about is the solution, because we've developed and added feature to these products each with each and every version. For example, the portfolio analysis and the selection has been included in Project 2010. So it's been there since Project 2010. Before, it was an independent product which worked with a connector, and it was pretty hard to set up. Now, since 2010, it's included. We offer you resource management. So you have a central location where you have an overview on all the resources in your organization, no matter if they are named resources or if they are generic resources. You can even define bricks, if you want, as a resource. Or let's say I need 20 developers or 10 PMs. So you don't need, it's not that complex. You don't need to make, from the first phase of the project, you don't need to make granular scheduling. Or you don't need to know exactly the name of the resource. You can evolve from a proposal to, let's say, a list, and then with time, once you have all the factors, you can advance and make it a real enterprise project. We have business intelligence and reporting. For the on-premise, we have direct connection to the databases. So you can even connect to the, sorry, to the reporting schema from the database, because you have one database. Or you can even use OLAP cubes from analysis services, because they come built in with the product. On the cloud, we offer you the possibility to synchronize the reporting information which is in the cloud with your data warehouses, which is on-premise. So if you want, you can report against the data cloud with OData service, or you can extract the data from the cloud related to your reports, projects, resources, so on, and you can inject it or insert it in an on-premise table, database, whatever you choose. So I have a flavor of choices to make. Now, a good question, or before looking at the implementation on any of these things, we need to discuss about portfolio. What is actually portfolio management? Portfolio is a collection of projects. It's even a collection of programs. So I can have a collection of, if I work with programs in my organization, each program hits its own objective. Portfolio can refer to a collection of projects. To make it simpler, today we are going to implement it or discuss as a collection of the projects. When I analyze this collection of the projects, I'm interested in choosing certain projects. So I have a team of 10 people that submit project to me. And I need to choose from those projects. It's hard for me as a PM to look in each and every project that I have. Maybe I have 100 projects. Look at the task. I don't even have a nice overview about all the costs and everything. So with this algorithm that was implemented in Portfolio Analyzer, it's very easy to choose, because the tool chooses for me. It's an analysis based on the constraint that I'm giving to the tool. Constraint in terms of resources, what are the resources that I'm going to use, and constraints in terms of the most important in some organization, cost and money. Okay? Maybe this is something which you do day to day in a certain way. For example, when you go to lunch, or you, for example, you want to have dinner. So you'll have like different small projects, the project to cook your dinner, the project to go to a fast food, and project to go to a restaurant. And when you take this decision, you take into consideration, first of all, what is the objective of having this dinner? Well, my main objective is eating healthy and paying a good amount of money, okay? So I can analyze, if I stay at home and cook, what would be the cost, and how much or in what measure I can reach these objectives which I defined. The same with Project Server. So you will define your organization objectives, and then you will define the impact of each project in those objectives. And based on your input, the tool will be able to make a selection of the project that can help you work and reach the maximum strategic value and the best return of investment. This will be more in the formal or the formal methodology to choose the projects or evaluate projects. Another feature is that you can do a what-if analysis. What-if analysis means that I can choose the cost. If I get extra funds and I add 10,000 euros, what projects will be in? If I hire two more resources, how many projects can I squeeze in? If I force a project, if I put some constraints, how will this scenario end? This change? And another thing will be that we have the possibility to compare different scenarios. But as a picture is worth more than 1,000 words, we will see that in the demo. When we speak about Microsoft portfolio management solution, we will speak about financial management. So I have customers which manage their costs with Project Server. The main focus is their cost. They have baselines on costs, on resource costs, on project costs. Their main focus is on cost. I have organizations which manage their people with Project Server. So I can see, you can even make a resource breakdown structure, divided by departments, divided by manager. You can really build your hierarchy inside Project Server. Most of the people that use Project Servers are not project managers. Most of them are team members. And I have seen this in my customers. Most of them report their time. So you can report your time against the activities that you have been assigned to. It can be some people get their money at the end of the month based on the tool. Some people get access in some buildings, but this is quite extreme. Like if you're not assigned to a task, you will not get in the building. But this is also an extreme project. So we have the time reporting feature, so you can track your time and manage the time that you've spent on a day. You can schedule your tasks, and you can link a project with a list of all the documents that are associated with that project. What documents do you usually associate with a project? What type of documents or what type of things? Do you have risks? Do you have risk analysis? Do you have feasibility analysis of the project? So this is not, these are some documents which you can't incorporate like a task in the project. And then for this, we have a special subsite linked to that project where we can keep all this information, the risk, the feasibility, the videos, notes, team discussions, whatever you have that may be related to that project. Since 2010, we also offer demand management. Demand management is a fancy name. Behind it, it's actually the possibility to create a workflow that will move the project from your in your organization manually. So, for example, if I create a proposal and I just kick off that proposal, it can go automatically from to my manager, let's say, and then from my manager, if he approves it, it will go to the boarding meeting, and then to the boarding meeting, if it gets approved, it goes to the PM, and then the PM will detail that project and send it for execution. So based on workflows, you can even define this in a Project Server. Of course, there is a site connected, and you can have team collaboration and social discussion there. The process that, actually, this is a very complex process. Each organization implements it in a different way. This is the life cycle, I would say, the most standardized and correct life cycle of a project. You just create a proposed schedule without any fixed dates, like a list of small tasks that you are going to do. You will put some generic resources. So for example, I'm going to organize a party. What do I need for my party? Well, I need three tasks. I need some shopping, I need somebody to speak with the parents, and the last one would be clean up the house, no? So I can I can create this proposed schedule, put some generic resource, like my friends will help me with the shopping, my brother will speak with my parents, and somebody will clean the house. After this, I can submit the schedule for approval. Let's see, do I have a budget limit? Do I have a budget constraint? Do I have a resource constraint? I'm looking for all of these. I perform a what if analysis. So what if I go shopping and my sister will speak with the parents, or if I hire an external planner, an external resource to take care of the party. So I can perform or take into consideration different scenarios. And this also happens in your environment. Even if you are speaking about migration, you are thinking, shall we do it in-house? Shall we hire somebody from the outside? Shall we take a consultant? Or shall we externalize the service? So this is what happens in day-to-day decisions. After I've done my decision, I will select the best options based on my constraints and my objectives, and I will commit to that. And once I've taken the decision, for example, I'm going to migrate in-house, I'm starting to make more modular scheduling. Okay, what would be the task? Take the backup, check the backup, install the new infrastructure. So I'm starting to develop a little bit on those tasks and assign some name resources, somebody which would be responsible for those things. The points from 3 to 7 are actually covered by portfolio analysis. And in the following minutes, I'm going to go through a demo about how you can do portfolio analysis. Okay? Just one second. For the people which have never seen this interface, this is actually the project online, so the project server version in Office 365. This is the PWA site where you can store all your project resources, where you can make your analysis, where you can define your reports, and also where you can report time against the things that you are assigned to. We've added a few easy steps, let's call it, to get familiar with the tool, like create or import projects. As I told you, you can just copy-paste from Excel into the tool, either in this location or either in the client. You can download the project profile Office 365, share your site with somebody else, give permission, and so on. So as I told you, when we are doing a portfolio analysis, we are looking at the resources and the costs. So first of all, I would like to look at the pool of my resources, which has been defined on my server. And this is how the resource center looks like. Each manager or each person that has permission and wants to create a report will have this view. In this view, you can see I have generic resources like building, hardware, software. I have named resources, individual persons. And on the lower part of the page, okay, I will have my roles, developer, consultant, also some generic resources that you can use in the first stage. The thing that is very useful and that I find very useful in here is that only by looking or picking up a resource, so I'm just going to make sure that I take a resource which has some work. Sarah Davis for sure has some work. Just choosing a resource and looking at the assignments of this resource, I can see what are the projects that she is involved into. What is the project name? What are the amounts of hours that she was supposed to work, she was planned to work on those tasks? I can see the remaining work, okay? And the start and finish date for that assignment, for that commitment for the resource. there are unlimited, not unlimited, but a lot of things that you can do here. I'm just going to show you something more, which is pretty useful. Let's say that I am a manager and I'm thinking of using this resource in my projects. What do you need to see first? You need to see if the resource is available. In the your normal scenario, just pick up the phone and say, hey, what are you doing on Friday? Can you work on my project? Oh, let me look in my calendar, I'll send you an email, and so on. With Project Server in the Resource Center, you can see the resource availability. This is shown by week. If you want, you can break it down a day level. So you can see when she's work, when she has some work to do, and when she does not have. You have a nice Gantt chart in there. If you don't like charts, you can use the table, which is underneath, where you have the availability row, and you'll see the total availability of that resource. If you see a minus or a grid which is under the line, that means that that resource is already over allocated. So if she has an 8 hours availability and I have some minus value, it means that somebody may have taken her 4 hours in a project, 6 hours in another task, and so on. But per total, on all the projects on that day, she has gone beyond her capacity. So this is the resource pool that we are actually using in the portfolio analysis. Now, going back to the PWA side, another thing which is very useful are the reports. These are all the reports that have been created and shared inside the organization. I have a centralized place where I can manage them and modify them. There's also a nice timeline on the upper side where you can see the ongoing projects for the time frame. If I would like to create, so if I'm clicking on these projects, can be synced with a SharePoint list, can be very professional projects, or can even be some proposal, just a list of some tasks that I want to do. So let's say I would also want to create my own project. Well, I'm going to call it party project. When is it going to start? Well, I think it's going to start on this day. The owner of the project, well, let's see what resource available I have here. Well, I think I'm going to use Sarah as the owner of this project. The names which appear here are displayed based on the permissions and the roles for those resources. If you have a team member which you don't want to be a project owner, he will not appear here. This is, you saw, I have the big list of resources. Here I had just a bunch of names. These are the ones which can be assigned as project owners. So I'm going to choose Sarah. I don't care about the department. Okay. And now, once I have created this project, okay, I would need to add some tasks in it. So let's think about the task that I'm going to add. Well, I'm going to first announce the parents. And then I'm going to do some shopping. And then I'm going to do some cleaning on the house. Well, I'm done. Well, if I think shopping, I can buy juice and I need to buy food. So probably I only need 2 persons to do that. One to buy the juice for the party, orange juice, of course, and the second person to do the food shopping. So probably I'm going to insert some new tasks in here. Well, actually not in here, underneath. So it will be food shopping. and the other one will be juice. And if I'm looking at my project, actually it will be make sense to have these tasks under the shopping area. So I'm just gonna have an overview of the shopping area and I'm going to move them. Once I indented them, this becomes the summary task. And now once I define my tasks, well, I would need some start and finish date. Let's say if I want to at this moment, let's say it will be this, and duration 1 day, this will take 1 day, and the cleaning probably is going to take 2 days. 30. Well, I have my, you can see if I put the duration, then the start, the finish gets automatically populated. If I put the start and the finish, duration gets automatically adjusted. Right now, I have defined this, so I would also need to add some resources on those tasks, no? Because I would need to build my team for my project. So I'm going to save the project first of all to make sure that I don't lose this part. This is in the saving state for the moment. And afterwards, I'm going to look at the resources that I can add to my team. So here in the build team area, I'm going to see all the team members or anybody that can be added as a resource. Well, let's see. I can add generic resources. Now, I know for sure that I want Alex, I want Bonnie, I want Brian. So I'm just going to add them in my team planner for that project, my team planner. I'm just going to save it and close. And right now, when I'm going back to my project, on the resource area, I can choose and make some delegation or assignments for these tasks because I don't want to do it myself. Once I've done this, I can save it. If I save it, it's visible for me at the moment. If I want to share it with everybody within the organization, then, which is the magic button there, publish. Once I'm publishing this project, all the resources, you can even configure Outlook, so all the resources that were assigned on that project will receive emails.
Could you pick the resources from my Active Directory?
Yes, these resources, actually, when you can pick them from Project Center, but the project center can be synced with Active Directory groups if you want. So you can add them. These are actually user accounts. You can add them one by one, or you can schedule a synchronization on premises even with Active Directory for the groups, like PM groups from AD will sync with PM group from project server. And you can schedule that one per day, and it will automatically populate your resource list. Okay, so now that I've done that, I'm going to publish also my project. So you can see that for the moment, even if you don't save when you publish, he will save it to make sure that this information is correct. And when the publish process completes, I'm going to see, so this was checked out to me, so nobody could modify it while I worked on this project. Do I want to check it in? Yes, I would like to check it in so other people can make changes on this. Okay, because I'm done with it. And now if I'm going back to project server and I'm looking in my project name list, do you remember the name of the project? It was party project, yeah? And if I click on this project, then I have everything. And everybody, based on their permission, will see either the entire project or certain task. For example, if Bonnie is a team member, she will see just this task assigned to her. And the good thing is that for online, for team members, you don't have to pay the same price as for project managers. So for people who just do time reporting or time tracking, there is a much cheaper subscription, which will give you this functionality, Project Lite, than the functionalities, the full package, which is available for PMs. And now, once we have our portfolio of projects, we need to go to the analysis and the most important pillar of our organization, which is actually the strategy. Every project analysis scenario starts with the drivers. This is something which you need to define what are the drivers for your business. And this is very important. This is not something in one day or one week. Each people has a different version of what should the drivers be. And these are the most important steps in doing a correct portfolio analysis. And you're going to like the result at the end. So here we already have some drivers defined. Usually this happens in like long meetings with everybody from the organization. You can either use some papers or you can go straight in the tool. And here you can define your driver. And when you say my driver is, for example, my business driver, because it's trendy right now, is to reduce the costs. So this is my main objective. I need a driver, by its definition, needs to be quantifiable. So you need to measure it from the project management principle. What is a good non-impact? I would say zero reduction. A low impact? Let's say I reduce my costs by 5%. Moderate? Let's say 10%, yeah? Strong? Come on, maybe 11, if I'm real good. And extreme, if I need to cut off some people or stuff like that, I'm going to make it 15%, okay? These are things that you decide together with your business manager and your organization. And once I defined all the business drivers, I need to choose a set of them, which can be all the business or subset of the drivers to do an analysis on that. So if I'm a CFO, yes, I don't want to take all the drivers from there. I just want to take the drivers to reduce the costs and reduce that. So I have my own vision of drivers which are important for me. So I will make my own driver prioritization. So I'll just put here, Chief Financial Officer view, because this is my view over the business. I'm going to choose the drivers which are important for me. Well, what is important for me? For me, it's important to reduce the cost. Reduce expense base, yeah, this is kind of like, sounds nice. Improve product quality. Well, I'm really a financial guy, so I'm interested in reducing the costs. Maybe I will choose expanding in new markets because I think this will bring me new money. So once I choose the list of drivers which are important from my point of view, because each entity can make its own set of drivers and its own prioritization, okay? Once I've chosen these drivers, I would need to define the relationship between them, between these three drivers. Which is the most important for me, or what is the relationship between them? Because I need to prioritize the projects based on these drivers. So I would say that expanding in new markets and segments is extremely less important than reduced costs and extremely less important than reduced expense base. As you can see here, I have seven levels of comparison. And then I'm going to take the next driver, and on the last page I'll have one driver with one driver. The reduced cost is as important as reduced cost base. And based on the relations that I've established here, for each driver, I have a percent of priority. So reduce cost, it's 45%, reduce expense base, 45%, and expanding into new markets and segments, 5.26. With five drivers, it's pretty easy to follow this relation between them. But what if I have 20? How do I know that I didn't set A equals B, B equals C, and then A higher than C? Because this can happen while I establish the relations between driver. For this, I have this nice consistency ratio. When it's 100%, this is the great case, the way that you define the relations between your driver, it's a good one, it's a consistent one. So logically, it makes sense. If you have it lower than 80, we do not recommend to have it lower than 80% because it doesn't offer you a correct analysis. You didn't establish logically correct the relations between your drivers. So here I was very mathematically incorrect, so now I have a consistency ratio of 100%. The two things that I did so far before I go to the analysis itself is I defined my drivers in my organization. I created my own data set of drivers which are important for me and prioritized them. And now I'm going to the analysis step. Well, I'm going to type a name for my analysis so I can say CFO analysis. And I can choose what set of driver prioritization will I use for this analysis. You remember I created my CFO view. I can even use other people's view and their prioritization. So for this analysis, I'm going to use the drivers and the relations that I created. Now, what am I missing? I have the pool of resources, I have the drivers. What's the main element? The projects. So I would need to choose the projects that will be analyzed, the candidates. It's like a work interview. The candidates that I'm going to evaluate those business driver against. So I'm going to, let's see, what can I choose from here? I'm going to choose my CFO campaign. I'm going to choose the portal development project. Let's see if that is doing any cuts on our costs. The hub upgrade and Ignite user conference. Let's see how that is affecting our costs. Okay. And I can also include, by default, it does cost analysis. I can also include resource analysis. And I can set up from when to analyze the resource and their availability. So once I've done this, I'm going to, okay, no problem. I will choose another analysis for this one. I'm going to the prioritization of the project. For the resource assignments, they have no resource assignments, but don't worry about that. I will show you later a resource analysis. I have the list of, you can see here, these are the drivers that I chose, and those are the projects. The last step before doing everything, I need to choose the impact, expanding into a new market. So CFO campaign, what is the impact against my driver? Well, expand CFO campaign, it's really low. E-commerce portal development, let's say strong. Reduce costs, let's say no, okay. Low, moderate, I'll just put some numbers in here. None. Okay, on this one is going to be none. And let's say this one is extreme. And once I've logically chosen the impact of each driver on my project, I'm going to review the priority. So it's also going to make a nice graph with the priority of each project based on the drivers, business drivers that I'm following up. the objectives that I'm trying to reach. And now I can go to cost analysis. So here you will see, this is actually the portfolio analysis. If somebody is interested in the algorithm underneath, we can discuss that afterwards. I have, with the current portfolio, analysis, I'll have, I'll just choose the total cost and not the return of value. So I will have a total cost of, for implementing these projects, of $1 million in order to take these projects. But let's say to have these four selected projects and reach 100% strategic value. Let's say I'm having some budget, you know, I have some budget cuts. So I cannot provide 1 million. Yeah, I have only $500,000. What will happen now? What can I do with $500,000? What projects can I implement in order to reach the objective strategic which I have? And now I can see that the selected projects are actually Ignite User Conference and CFO campaign, which go into that budget. On the left side, you have a nice overview with red you have the current scenario with this amount of money, and with blue you have the saved portfolio analysis scenario. So if I'm reducing the money, so if I want, if I have only half a million dollars, the best projects to implement to reach those objectives are user and CFO campaigns, and the other ones have been moved out. So I can even save this. Let me save it. And I can say, budget. Yeah, that would be. Okay. And now, well, you know, actually there is the CEO who is forcing me to do this project. So I really don't care about the rest. This project needs to be done. So what I can do with $500,000 and this project? Can I choose other projects? So I can, if I want this project to be included in the analysis, I can force it in. So I can see that this, it's not possible, because if I'm forcing in these projects, I'm exceeding the maximal value. Well, let's put it, let's say I'm just forcing out this project. Then I'm just going to sell to the CEO that is too much to implement. And I'm trying to recalculate, trying to force in. So this is also very expensive. But let's say that I'm trying to force out a project which was chosen, okay? And I'm just going to click recalculate. So if I am forcing out the project which was chosen, I am left only with the CFO campaign. I would like to show you something else in the portfolio analysis, an analysis which is already done. For example, the portfolio analysis 2013-2014. Okay. And I'm looking at the same, this is the definition and the relation between the projects. And this is the cost analysis. And these are the project that has been chosen for the cost analysis. Just one second. Right now, I would like to look. One second. I'll choose the definition, not the. I will choose the baseline. Okay, so here is the baseline. And another option that I can create here, you have it in option, is to define relationship between projects. So if I'm looking in my portfolio analysis here, I can define project dependency. For example, I have four types of dependency, which is mutual inclusion. That means if one project is selected from that specific set, then all the projects must be selected. Another one is mutual exclusion. That means that if one project is selected, then none of the other will be selected. And the last one is finish to start. This is more related about the scheduling of the project. So the next project will need to start after the primary project. So if I want in my analysis to take also this in consideration, I can do it. And the dependency, if I have a specific project that is selected, then the whole group is selected. The difference between mutual inclusion is that if the whole group is selected, it doesn't mean that my primary is selected. So I can define all of this project dependency here. And I can enforce them or not on the analysis. Okay. And another thing that I can do here, I can look in the analysis and look at the hired resource report. So if I don't hire any resource, probably I will have zero resources. But if in my analysis I decide to hire two resources, then it can find the roles that have deficitary resources. For example, I don't have enough testers to implement those projects, or I don't have enough developers to implement those projects, and will propose me the roles for that role. Okay. And here I have a list of the selected projects and the list of the not selected projects. If I want to foresee, let's see if I can foresee a project here and try to recalculate. I can see, this is based on the resources. I can see that this project has been forced in, so I can see it in the selected project. And I can see that the Dynamics CRM US deployment has been forced out due to the fact that this project was forced in. Does it make sense to you, this analysis, or do you understand the purpose of this analysis? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. Another thing is that I can hire, for example, if I want to hire four more resources. Yeah, I think I would like to achieve more. I would like to go, because right now my strategic value is 77.94 based on the current resource assignment. And this takes into consideration what resources I have and if they are already assigned onto some tasks. So if I want to hire some more resources, I want to see if this is going to increase my strategic value. Just 1 second, he's rendering. So this increased, if I hire four more resources, this increased my strategic value to 92.77. And now I would like to look at the hired resource report, because in the beginning you saw that I had no resources that were hired, yes? So now I've hired some additional resources. So it seems that the role which miss these resources are actually the trainer two trainers and one tester. So what I would need to reach this strategic value, I would need only three resources, one tester and two trainers, which would need to work on this project beginning with January 2014. The testers have to be in 2013, 2015, and the amount of work that they would need to do on this project is this hours. I need the first resource for 4,000 hours, second resource 7,000 hours, third resource 4,000 hours. And another good thing that you can do in here is that you can have a view on the deficit and surplus of resources. So this is for each month, for each role. If you see something with minus, but now that I've hired four resources, probably this is not going to be anything with I have here in January, I have some deficit for subject matter expert and sponsor and tester on those projects. Another good feature is that for each of these scenario, it's like if I hire one resource, if I hire two resources, I can save this scenario. This is already saved. And afterwards, I can compare different scenarios. So for example, here I have the scenario with baseline zero, where I have zero additional resources, but I have a higher budget because 23 of 31 were chosen, and with 78.14 strategic value. Baseline two, I have the budget, which I made it higher, so still no resources, but I have strategic value 80. And baseline higher, the one which I saved, is with the total additional hours of work in order to reach 100% strategic value. And for each of these baselines, you can see what were the projects that were selected, the ones which have resource, and the one which were first team. The one which has resource to implement that, and the one which is not resourced to implement that. And this, I think, would be an overview of portfolio management capabilities. This functionality exists since 2010, so you can use it. From my experience, the success of the implementation depends on how realistic and correct you are in choosing the business drivers and the impact in your project. What's ahead? So I would like to talk about the enhancements. It has been a recent announcement about the enhancements that we did to Project Online. First of all, we increased the number of Project Web Access sites that we can host on a tenant. We have increased this to 7. So you can have 7 PWA sites, as you saw in there. And each site, we have increased the limits. Each site can host up to 5,000 projects. So with a tenant, you can actually manage in 7 sites, in 7 PWA, 35,000 projects. We have turned off the option to automatically create project sites. The project site is actually the workspace, which is where you have all the risk documents that is connected with the project. So you can turn it on, turn it off, or create it later. It's up to you. And we have turned off the task list sync. So normally, your project would sync the task with the task that you have on your subsite, if you have any. And we have added the option to turn that off. The the project Office Project Pro for Office 365, as I told you, it's a subscription-based version of the client. You can use it either with on-premise, you can use it either with on-cloud, the cloud. Also, Project Professional license-based can be used either with on-premise, either with the cloud. When we started in 2003, the enhancement that we did is we integrated it with Office and SharePoint. In 2007, we added the capability to have timesheets for resource and report time and plan and manage your resource scheduling based on availability, demand, and so on. In 2010, we have consolidated portfolio and demand management, workflows actually, in the product. And in 2013, we offer the cloud solution that incorporates all these features. When we are looking ahead, in front of us, we'll have enhancement made to fast release cadence for the cloud, so deployments will be released faster to the cloud. Will be app store, so there'll be a lot of apps developed there. Project Server has APIs that can be used like PSI web services, either on-premise environment. We have CSOM, client server object model to connect to the cloud, so you can do any type of development you want. We would like to increase the cross-device accessibility. And we are looking into extending the resource management and even approving the resource plan from the resource managers and so on. So there will be enhancement in the resource management and also integration with hybrid environments, or making it more hybrid and integrated with online, with on-premise. For the on-premise, you already have the possibility to bring your reporting data inside your SQL Server from your organization. Questions? Now or later? Anytime? From my point of view, this portfolio analysis, it's a very powerful decision-making tool, especially since you are project managers. I would advise, it's not that complicated as it seems. You just have to go once or twice and get the flavor of it. And the mathematical algorithms behind it are pretty good. So if you input correct data, you should have really, really good decisions. Thank you very much for attending the session. And don't forget about tomorrow's session on the reporting and BI capabilities with PowerPoint, sorry, Power Pivot, Power View, and Excel services. Thank you.